Ladies and gents, welcome to the Keto Matrix podcast. Has it not been way too long? I apologize. Life has been absolutely insane and I am so backlogged on podcasts that need to go out. But without further ado, I have other episodes that are coming. This will be the first one and I'm going to keep them rolling. Hang on to your seats. Instead of me typically doing the one per week, I'm going to take all of the episodes that I have right now that are backlogged and just push them out. So new episodes are coming. Please like, subscribe, and share as the episodes resonate with you. Having said all of that great stuff, I want you guys to understand that there is a need for you as listeners to help support the changes and the developments within the keto community in order to sustain this lifestyle. I know we talked about it, we've had guests on about it, where it just seems difficult sometimes to do the abnormal because people view it as abnormal to not stuff your face full of carbs. Well, Jordana and Michelle, who are going to be on this episode from California Keto, are doing something to help make that change, to help really impact those that are out there trying to find keto-friendly, truly keto-friendly goods locally in the California area. So if you're in Southern California, they have a pop-up event going on right now, okay, where you can find all of the lovely keto things that you need there. Listen to the episode, hear their heart behind the story, and go check them out. They're there until the end of the week, and I wanted to make sure I got this episode out in time to make sure you listeners out in California heard about it, knew about it, and could benefit from it. So thank you guys so much for listening. Sorry that I've been away, and I promise I will get some more episodes out. Brittany and I have some other episodes recorded as well that we need to put out, and we appreciate your loyalty. So many people have told me, hey, I've listened to all the episodes and I need another episode. Here it is. Lean in, appreciate it. Let's jump in. Thank you guys. Appreciate you.
The Keto Matrix Podcast, where myths are busted, science is explained, and the keto lifestyle is discussed by industry experts and everyday people alike. For more information and support, go to theketomatrix.com. Now, let's jump into our latest episode.
Ladies and gents, welcome to the episode. So, you know what's funny is that I never really have an agenda on who's going to be on the show. I literally will think of random connections, conversations, people that I'll meet at random different places and decide and discover that I think people should talk to them. And so the guest that we have on today, I met at KetoCon. I feel like that's going to be a recurring theme, that I met them at KetoCon and decided that maybe we should talk on air. I don't know. But with that said, I'm pretty stoked to have them on. Different concept than I've had or seen or heard of from anyone else. The only negative, that's right, I'm going to start this with a negative. The only negative is that they're recording right now sitting in a communist state. You guys have heard me say this before. There are a few communist states that are still within this country. One of them happens to be on the far west coast. That is California. The other one happens to be my birthplace of New York. Both very communistic in their approach to things.
Actually, I was raised in the Netherlands, and that's a way more communist state than this one.
Well, so full circle, the amount of time I've spent in Holland and the amount of Dutch shepherds that I've brought in make me feel like the Netherlands is a second home. However, the rest of this is all still California based. So without further ado, guys, I'd like you to meet Michelle and Jordana. How are we doing tonight?
Hey guys, we are good. We're good. We're excited to be here. Thanks for having us on.
No problem.
It's a
tonight.
It's a nice sunset early here in communist California.
Yep.
It is. I was going to say the weather's probably great. I've been over here dying at 100 and plus degrees, and humid and disgusting.
72 every day.
Yeah, that's the breeze is coming in off the ocean nicely.
Pretty sweet.
Where are you guys actually at in California?
We're in Ocean Beach. It's a small town in the middle of San Diego.
Man, SoCal, middle of San Diego. That sounds lovely.
It is. It's beautiful.
It's a small little town away from the rest of San Diego, but still in the middle. It's a little bay. And it's Wednesday, so you might hear some drums in the background from the drum circle that's here every Wednesday night.
Yeah. There's a drum circle?
Yeah.
What it's market day.
It's market day, market day and drum circle day. It's every Wednesday. Yeah.
Okay, hold on. Let's pause. What?
What you wanted to know how communist it was here. That's
What is a drum circle?
So there's a bunch of, let's call them between 20-somethings that are dressed in appropriate clothing, not so appropriate clothing, and no shoes on, and they bring their drums and they sit down and start playing the drums and people start dancing and hanging out and walking on slack lines and throwing torches in the air and painting on each other. And
is this the capital of Clown College? There is
something like that. Something like, I don't think they're going to college though. The clown, yes. The college part, no, no.
I don't remember. I think it's all of California where marijuana is legal. I'm assuming that there's probably a fresh aroma in the air.
All the time.
All the time. That's Ocean Beach, yeah.
Oh, man. You see what I mean when I say I have no agenda? This is just going to take its own form. Okay, so then the next part of that is, so that's the drum circle. Explain the marketplace aspect of things. What is that? And it's only on
Monday? So it's funny because it actually ties into your thing. It is a lovely little farmer's market. It's kind of a rotating farmer's market. It goes to different neighborhoods. Here in San Diego, there's one in Little Italy, there's one in La Jolla. And if you go to those, if you are keto, it's kind of funny as an introduction, you can't eat anything there, but there's lots of food and it's a great atmosphere.
No, I would imagine that there's probably not a lot of fresh keto items to eat. I'm sitting here thinking about the bread. Yeah, cheese probably it, but the rest of the bread stand and everything else that they bring in fresh is probably not. No.
There was one that claimed to be keto, and we didn't trust it.
No. We tried one of their sweets, and it kind of wired us up like sugar would have. So, delicious, but questionable.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay, so we kind of – I don't want to say we let the cat out of the bag, because I guess this is what we're on here for anyway, right, to talk about it. But so you guys have started California Keto, and I think it launches here end of the month, right?
Yeah, the 29th. So,
what is California Keto? Like, what is it, and how did we get to this name?
Sure. Well, we're both keto, obviously. We've been keto for a year and a half now.
I hope so. This isn't the place to lie about it. If you're not keto, we'll find out. The listeners will know.
You will find out. You will know. Long story short, to kind of get to the end of it first, I guess, we...
Wait. Let me stop you right there, Jordana.
All right.
There's no long story short. People are just listening to us talk.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know why. I don't know why they do it. There's like six listeners and they just listen to hear us talk. So we don't have to do a long story short. Literally, we can do a long story long.
Oh. All right, then we'll go long story.
Let's start keto. Yeah, how did that happen?
Keto. My sister got me into keto and she kind of quietly started it a couple of years ago and didn't tell us anything and just kind of wanted to see how it felt. And she finally told me about it. And my first thought was, well, that sounds great, but I can't stop eating fruit because I'm addicted to fruit and that's crazy. And in the meantime, I think I had spent 3 or 4 years prior to that trying everything. I was vegetarian. I was a vegan. I tried eating. I tried quitting dairy. Nothing worked.
Did you try the South Beach diet?
No, I didn't try that one.
Too far on the East Coast, right?
Yeah. That was a lot of, I don't know, packaged food. I don't like packaged foods.
Gotcha.
But I tried everything. And, you know, kind of the same old story with a lot of people, especially women. You start getting a little older and all the things you're doing don't work anymore. So what's happening? I got to really tap into my body. So my sister started keto. I started, and then I decided, okay, I'm going to do this. Against Michelle's better judgment, because he thought me not eating fruit was crazy.
No, you changing your diet yet again was just exhausting.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, at one point, while I was trying to be a vegetarian, I forgot I was vegetarian and popped a piece of meat in my mouth.
Okay, wait. Hold on. We just got to unpack this one a little bit more.
Okay.
What vegetable were you eating where all of a sudden meat came into the picture?
This was, I'm also the one who cooks and usually gets the to-go orders since I work nights, so I've other times and I'm more in the restaurant industry, so it's my nature. And I brought home a vegetable pho from a Korean place and Jordana, a Vietnamese place, obviously, and myself a roast pork. And I opened the box and she grabbed the pork and she put it in her mouth and looked at her and go, what are you doing? She goes, I always steal some of your food. I said, yeah, but you're a vegetarian now, so you can't do that anymore.
Not to mention, I mean, of all the things in pho that are not meat, Yeah. You totally had other options.
Yeah.
I forgot I was a vegetarian. That didn't suit me very well. I didn't feel very good on that one.
But as somebody who cooks, for example, gluten-free was already quite a change to somebody who grew up in Northern Europe and cooks that way and eats bread with everything and a peanut sauce in the Indonesian style cooking and to get the gluten out of there, out of soy sauce and... So I was kind of going, oh, my God, now I got to change what we cook again.
Fair enough, fair enough.
Speaking of so, which, okay.
But so I decided, like I think a lot of people do, I need to follow the science on this one, and I need to find some good research that I can read and understand why I think this is going to be good. And I found something that I really liked that actually Dr. Berg had written, and I showed it to Michelle, and I said, I want you to read this. And if you read this, you will understand, I think, what's been going on with me and my body and how food's been affecting me and why I want to go keto. Because he cooks all my meals for me, pretty much, so I need him behind me on this one.
I see you're suffering with that then, right?
Suffering.
Yeah. Michelle's like, yeah, she's suffering.
He's a great cook. I got really lucky. Yeah. So we read it, and... It just clicked.
And it spoke mostly, what was really the interesting part was it spoke about the spiking and when you're on sugar and the, yeah, the drive to get back on that sugar high every 2-3 hours. And I looked at my wife and I go, that's you. Yeah. We've had many times in trips and airports where I basically had to like force feed her because she was so angry that she wouldn't eat because we don't have time because otherwise the whole day would lock on one of the rails. That was my wife. And I was like, well, that sounds like you and everything else. We gave a shot. So why not? I'll cook some bacon. That's pretty much. Yeah, that's pretty much how it started. So at the same time, of course, I started cutting out a lot of sugar and carbs out of my diet because I'm
you
not cooking. I live with you, not cooking anymore. And at one point she goes, well, you might as well just go keto. And I went, oh, yeah, why not? So,
well, also, my father had decided to go keto. Yeah. And very quickly, as men often do, I lost about 35 pounds. And so walked into their house one day and saw him and went, oh, hey. Hey, I wanna lose some weight too. And I think through seeing my dad starting keto and how it was affecting me very positively, I'm not angry anymore. My moods are leveled. I don't carry food around in my bag 24/7. And you know, there was a lot of positive things that happened pretty quickly. So we both just kind of dove right into it, and it's been awesome.
Cool. Okay, so how long has that been? How long ago was that?
Full-fledged, I'd say about a year and a half.
I mean, about a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so, Michelle, it took you 6 months to figure it out, huh?
Well, you know what? I was happy with it. It was fine by me. The same thing we're approaching this in our store, is if you cut out carbs and sugar, you'll feel better, you'll look better. You know, you want to go keto, I think that's great, but why not start at the beginning? Cut sugar out of your diet and cut carbs out of your diet. It's the easiest thing. And I felt better. And then the transition to going into keto was easier.
So what have been, you know, I love year and a half, year in. What were the largest challenges in overcoming? You know, you talked a little briefly about what you tasted and this and that, and it wasn't exactly what it should be. And, you know, what are the biggest obstacles that you guys face when you first kind of got into it? And this is a two-part question.
For me, it's definitely work. I work in the restaurant industry. There's staff meal. I'm a bartender. I have to taste cocktails. So I every now and again do get the drop of sugar on my tongue. And I'm telling you, it gives a pretty bad reaction. It's not that I can really eat at work. So I usually fast 4 times that I work, I guess. I don't have a choice. Those were the hardest things to overcome and make sure that I set my schedule up in such a way that I eat at the appropriate time and able to work.
Yeah. For me, I think it was wrapping my head around fat is good for you and fat doesn't make you fat. And I think most of us spend our lives hearing, you know, fat makes you fat and you eat low fat and there are certain things you eat. So I had to completely change the way I think, the way I shop. I mean, when I went keto, my sister begged me. She said, don't do a thing until I talk to you. Please let me talk to you first. Don't just dive into this. And she walked me through it and she talked to me about the importance of salt and, you know, staving off the keto flu. And she came grocery shopping with me. And I remember looking down at that first grocery shopping haul. And I went, I don't recognize the foods on here. Like, this is not what how I eat. This is not what I do.
Which is so good, right? Me, if you don't want to be the same way you were, I guess you should be.
Yeah, you're right.
And I snuck butter into everything all those years before, so I was fine.
Yeah, right.
But it was just a complete, you know, 360 from, you know, years of you know, under what you thought at that point, that standard American diet. And I'm not eating fruits and vegetables. I don't really eat a lot of vegetables, but they don't really work for me. But and
listen, I'm carnivore, so we don't have to talk about that.
You are.
All
yeah,
we
okay.
Yeah, I mean, we're good with it.
Me too. Good, good, good. So I think that was the hardest part. And it took me about, I'd say, you know, a good 2 to 3 months for my body to get fat adapted. And the changes that I went through and kind of getting over that hurdle in the gym, because I work out, you know, 5-6 days a week, and that took a while for my body to adjust. So
how long was that adjustment process, and where are you at with it now? What are some of the things you used to get over that?
Time and persistence, really, and just the understanding that I just need to be patient with my body, and that as a woman, you know, being ruled by hormones as women are, that it was going to take longer for me to get fat adapted and to push through, you know, those first few months where you have to just trust in the process, I guess. I was in the gym. I was lethargic. I didn't have the energy. And then all of a sudden, one day I went back in the next morning and I was a new person. All of a sudden, it's like my body just changed and adapted. And now, honestly, I'm probably the strongest I've ever been in my life. I might be in the best shape of my life.
And are you still 6 days a week?
Awesome. Yep.
Fantastic. Yep. What kind of training do you do?
I love it. I work out in an awesome gym here called Performance 360, and it is a lot of weight training. It's really, they do a lot of amazing programming, and it's really heavily, it's a lot of weights, and I love it, and I'm learning a lot, and cool. I can actually see my muscles.
That's great.
I've been working on for a long time.
I was going to say, you love when that comes together, right? You get rid of the fat, build the strength, build a whole new physique, and just watch body recomposition happen. It's good stuff.
Well, you know, for years I kept doing the same thing I was doing and eating that sad diet and going to the gym and doing weight training, although not as hard as I am now. And nothing changed. Nothing changed for the longest time. And it was because of my time in the gym and how my body was starting to react as I started getting older. I went, something's got to change. This isn't how this is going to go.
Yeah. You know what? Let's pause here for a second, because you say that. And I found myself at the gym yesterday. I find myself at the gym there 6 days a week. But yesterday I did two workouts yesterday, and I was there the second time, and I'm looking at people come in, and you know, it's right before people start falling off, right? Today's Wednesday. So Monday, everyone is there, right? Yeah. Like everyone is there. They're trying to pay the piper for their weekend and all that good stuff. And Monday's insane. Tuesday, you can see it starts to trickle off a little bit. And then later in the after 5 o'clock hour, it gets worse and worse. And I was sitting there looking at people kill themselves. And I'm just thinking to myself, man, you probably think you eat clean because you're going to go home and have brown rice and ground turkey and wonder why you're on that elliptical for an hour and 15 minutes and still not seeing the things that you want to see. And I'm just like, what if I told you you could stop doing that?
Yeah.
Add butter.
Yeah.
Take out the rice.
I see it.
Add some more.
I see it every day in the restaurant I work at now. We'll leave it alone what restaurant it is.
Yeah, for sure. Let's leave that out.
Because it's not the highest quality food. I've worked in better restaurants for sure. And I know there's barbecue sauce and that kind of stuff coming along. And they feed their children, and then the children are going nuts right after the meal.
Yeah.
And the whole restaurant is annoyed by the children that are making a noise. And you want to just go over there and go, cut, don't. If you just let me eat the burger,
if you stop taking the pixie stick and shoving it down their throat.
Yeah. And the soda on the side, and why not make it a Shirley Temple with a little extra sugar in there? And oh my God, yeah.
Well, I mean,
but yeah, it's been
little Johnny's got to have a Shirley Temple.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like that you're thinking that too, because I see that, and I know whenever I see people, I used to run 5 to 7 miles a day. I used to spend so much time doing cardio. Now I lift. I do, certainly some conditioning, but I'm not going for 5 mile runs anymore. And my body's responded better than ever. So yeah, I'm loving keto.
Okay, so Michelle, you mentioned the restaurant. I feel like, listen, this is one of those things that I'm thinking back through my clients, and I think the most challenging client I've ever had worked in a grocery store bakery. She was a grocery store bakery manager. And I remember the grocery store she worked at was in Texas, and they made some of the best desserts. And, you know, she'd have to taste this and that and the other thing. And I was like, yeah, that stuff's not going to happen anymore once you go this direction. You know, you can't give yourself just a little bit of heroin and think that you'll be okay. Like, that's not going to work. And so I remember that transition. And so now I'm thinking, I've worked in the restaurant industry before, and I recognize how much, especially like cooking on the line, like tasting this, changing that, adjusting the menu, adjusting this. So how do you deal with that? And how do you respond, and how has that been? Because that's got to be challenging.
It's challenging, and it hurts sometimes. When new cocktails come out, you do have to taste them. I am, thank God, that I can rely on the 30-year experience. And as I said, this restaurant is pretty, simple and easy for me in a sense to stay really precise. So I don't taste it a lot. But every now and again, a new cocktail comes along, and to get it right and to learn how to do it right, I suffer. I just go through it. I just taste it and get a headache an hour later, and the next day kind of feel like crap. And yeah, unfortunately, it's part of the job. I can't really not do it. That's why I don't want to do it anymore, but that's a different discussion.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so you mentioned you guys were talking about the grocery shopping and the hauling and all that stuff. And so what is California Keto? Like, what is that whole... How did that, before we get into what it is, how did the thought even hit you?
So the thought hit us when we were thinking about where to move. We've been a little searching where to live. We knew we wanted to leave New York.
Man, you guys just wait. Hold on, Michelle. Yeah. We got to stop now. Hold on.
Yeah.
I totally forgot about this. So you just ping pong from one communist state to the next.
We did.
Yeah. I told you. And from the Netherlands before that.
Yeah, the Netherlands is the reason why I don't categorize the Netherlands the same, because the Netherlands is not surrounded by free states or free countries.
So you don't have England. Except England, though.
England's not
in your book. Well, it's being liberated, right?
Yeah. If you're gonna get into trouble in England, you're still gonna have someone pull a knife on you. For me, I just think about if you go New York to Pennsylvania and get into trouble, it's a whole different story.
We're both consider ourselves New Yorkers. It's actually the place where we both lived the longest part of our life.
Yes.
Yeah, so I was there for 18 years. She was there for 15 years.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So with that said, I can't believe you just went from one coast to the next. Though I will say the beach is much better in San Diego than anywhere in New York. Anywhere in New York. People are like, no, the Hamptons is beautiful. No, it's not. You haven't been to San Diego. Okay. So having made that change in transition, how did we get to this spot?
We were like, in the transition, and one of the places I wanted to move to, and it was on the list of places to move to, because after 20 years in total in the Northeast, we both said, that's it. We are moving somewhere. And I said, we're moving somewhere warm. So, yes, the weather in San Diego. But in general, Southern California has been on my bucket list to live somewhere. So here we are driving around. And what are we going to do in Southern California? As in visit is where, okay, San Diego is great. But now what are we going to do? Work in a restaurant, do the job that Jordana does and not crazy about either. So keep doing that or do something else. Well, we've always thought about starting our own restaurant or bar. And maybe we should start a bar and a restaurant in Keto. And that's how the conversation starts. Well, if we're going to do that in California, why not just call it California Keto? Because that's where we want to do it anyway. And it sounds kind of cool. And it motivates us to move to California. slowly but surely, we realized that we don't want to run a restaurant. At least I don't want to run a restaurant anymore. I've been in the restaurant business for 30 years as a manager for 10 years in New York. I left the last restaurant as a general manager and realized that I don't want to work until 4 a.m. anymore. So
No.
But in the side of the restaurant, Giordano always envisioned a little section of keto goods, things that you could buy. Why not? There's a lot of products out there, as you saw at KetoCon, and in order to try them, you have to go to KetoCon or pay $7-$8 shipping for one, whatever it is, one thing.
Or maybe go to four different
stores,
supermarkets and different stores in order to get four different things. So
yeah, I'm sitting here thinking about it. I would say that's definitely accurate. I mean, for me to get, we do shop at one, two, I'd say four or five different stores in order to get what we need when we need it.
Right. And I mean, which is okay, but you know, time consuming. I've gone online a million times to buy some of my favorite stuff, and then I check out and I'm like, okay, all of a sudden my bottle of ketchup is $12 to $13. And I'm like, this is crazy. I can't spend $12 on a bottle of ketchup.
No.
Ultimately, you know, through this process and us wanting to start a business and us knowing that we wanted to do something with keto because it's changed our lives so much. Ultimately, we really just wanted to build a store that we wanted to go into ourselves.
No.
I want to walk into a store and see all of my favorite products under one roof. You don't have to wait for the mailman. You don't have to pay for shipping. It's also a way for us to bring some of the smaller companies that are out there that are making some amazing products that have never been in a retail environment before, which is also really exciting. And hopefully to grow with a lot of the smaller companies as well.
Especially the local ones.
Yeah. And connect with local people as well, which we've done.
Which is funny because a lot of places we found at KetoCon turned out to be from San Diego. We're like, really?
Yeah.
Todd?
That is definitely, you know what, I feel like two things that I had to takeaways from KetoCon. First off, shout out to Brian Williamson and the team of all the volunteers and those that helped to put that event on, because I think it was excellent and it just gets better year after year. But, you know, for me, I think twofold. It's crazy to me how many people have these amazing ideas that are still coming up with growing and putting themselves out there to unselfishly share what keto has done for them in some type of way, shape, or form. I think that the best products and ideas are developed when people share their heart for how they've been impacted and affected and want to be able to spread that with others. So hats off for that. And then the second thing is, as saturated as I look at some of the people that I'm connected with and know, how many people still don't know them and they're like right in their backyard. It's like, like how did you not know they were there? And it's because I think keto is just expanding at such a rapid rate that these people, there's still so many new people coming to it day in and day out. You know, friends that we haven't seen in, you know, years come and they're just like, oh my goodness, like I don't even know who you are. It's like, I got bit by that bug.
I was talking to my brother today. It's his birthday in the Netherlands. And, oh no, you're being followed here in the Netherlands. I'm like, what do you mean we're being followed in the Netherlands? Yeah, California Keto. And a friend of his, I've known the kid for years. Because I say kid, he's 30-something. He's one of the most gigantic Dutch guys. You know, he's one of those enormous Dutch guys. And apparently he's been keto for about 2 months, and one of the reasons is us.
What?
We started looking into it. Steven Bauer.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah,
Steven Bauer. Is he a canine decoy for the PH1 program?
Probably.
I was like, he
sounds like he's a decoy for a PH1.
Yeah.
But yeah,
Steven Building. It's just Lily, his name. Yeah.
You didn't tell me that.
That's very cool. That's very cool.
Hey, listen, he was waiting to throw it out here on the podcast.
I guess so.
The conversation happened 2 hours ago.
So you can tell Stephen, hey, listen to the podcast because you're on it. We'll send him the link.
Oh, we will.
Yeah.
We will. It's been cool. We actually have a couple of friends here in San Diego, too, that just went keto because of us and with our help a few weeks ago. So they're just getting started now, too. And it's been really awesome, actually. Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about what you're doing and how. So you said end of the month you're starting the California Keto and it's going to be retail. How are you going to start this retail? I'm assuming you didn't buy out like a Whole Foods grocery store and take it over.
Funny enough, that's kind of, we started looking at a lot of defunct GNC stores.
Well, that should be all of them.
Seems to make sense. Yeah,
exactly.
Which seems kind of to make sense. But so you go to these little, you know, strip mallies thingy places, and a dear friend of ours, actually, this is her business, to find locations for small businesses like us, the retail businesses. And she showed us around, and everywhere we went, first of all, they want you to sign for 3 years, and that's quite a commitment. And B, it's a destination, and I have to deal with how many parking spots are in front of the store, and will that be big enough? And so we started thinking about smaller, and there's a mall here called UTC La Jolla, and it's very nice. It's a fancy upscale mall, and we approached them, can we do this for a week? And they went, yeah, sure. This is, again, for us, the low down, inexpensive market research. We want to talk to these people. We want to see if this is something that we know we want to do, but if some people agree that we should be doing this and we can have enough customers, in very essence.
Yeah. So we decided to do a one-week pop-up. The mall is lovely. The whole thing's outdoors. It's really, really very pretty.
Only in San Diego, people. Only in San Diego.
Yeah. It's really gorgeous.
Yeah.
And we're really excited. So we start July 29th, and it goes through August 4th, and we're going to be open whatever the hours are for the mall. And about 3 months ago, we've been researching products for a really long time and keeping our eye on what products are coming out. You know, it was a really hard job. We had to buy and eat everything, which has been terrible.
Yeah.
And just really started to narrow down our list. And about 3 months ago, started reaching out to all of these companies to introduce ourselves and talk about, you know, what we're doing and our concept, and set up wholesale accounts, and you know, talk about you know, just kind of quantities and what we could do, and if people were interested in being a part of this. And very quickly, we actually started having some companies come to us, asking us to be a part of our pop-up instead of the other way around. And first time somebody came to us, I didn't understand the email.
You were like, wait, we didn't reach out to you. Do you not realize we're the ones that have to find you?
Yeah, I'm supposed to be finding you, not the other way around. Oh, my goodness. This is going
It turns out it's a very small, and it's kind of a startup company as well. And they couldn't be more different than we are, which is just fantastic.
And they're local.
And they're local.
And they've debuting their brand new keto barbecue sauce at our pop-up for the week. And it's a company called Keto Primo, and we're really excited. And we got a chance to meet a lot of our new suppliers, of course, at KetoCon, which was awesome. Just Made Keto, they're local. Yez Foods, with Lena's breads are amazing. We're going to have, you know, all of their stuff here. Yeah, Boo Foods, they're local. We're going to be, we have their bars.
I don't even know who that is.
Yeah,
they were there at KetoCon.
Yeah, we're all there at KetoCon, yeah.
Yep. You know, we met the guys from Keto Farms. We're going to be carrying their things. I mean, the list goes on. So it was really amazing. We got to meet everyone, and have spent the last 3 months talking to them and setting up accounts with everybody. And some companies like Keto Snaps, they created a wholesale account for us.
Yep.
You know, they hadn't been doing
that
yet.
Andy and Lisa are rock stars.
They're fantastic. We're so excited to have their
heads up, their anniversary is actually this weekend.
Oh, no way.
It's either the 18th or the 19th. I think it's
the anniversary of their marriage.
Their wedding anniversary, yeah. Their wedding anniversary.
They're going to be like,
wait, are they? That's right. That's right, people. If you've been on the show, you're family, so these things just happen to come out. So for everyone that's listening, this episode will be out before then. Feel free to shoot Keto Snaps a message and say happy anniversary to Andy and Lisa, because their anniversary is the 18th. I don't know which anniversary it is, but it's an anniversary, so it doesn't matter. Total sidetrack, guys.
I love that.
But these are the random things that stay in my head. Okay, so as we look at, you're finding these people, you're setting up your vendor and your wholesale accounts. Yep. And so you're going to be at, did you say UTC La Jolla?
Yep.
Okay, I'm just writing this stuff down so I can make sure I include it in the show notes after. But it's going to be UTC La Jolla from July 29th to August 4th.
Correct.
Now, Are you going to have, you said this was going to be a pop-up, you want to do the market research, have people be able to, you know, kind of get an idea for what they want. Is there going to be some kind of way that they'll be able to provide feedback either there or online or anything like that afterwards?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. We welcome feedback on our website.
Oh, yeah. You can get in touch with us on our website, californiaketo.com. We are working out more of the smaller details right now. Maybe we have some type of suggestion box. I think a lot of it we counted on was some verbal feedback.
Yeah.
We're definitely going to run a contest of sorts that we'll do on social media for people who are posting and using our hashtag so we can do a giveaway at the end of the week. I think what we're really most excited about is to meet everybody and hear their thoughts and what they're looking for and get feedback on, you know, the things, you know, the products that we think are the best out there and some of our favorites that we've pulled together.
I'm going to interject this because I think that for the most part, listeners know for sure, guests will always know because I am very big into the follow-ups and the helping and the assistance and the doing anything that I possibly can do to help. You guys may or may not know, I own three businesses. My wife and I also own a nonprofit. I don't say that for any other reason than I've made a ton of mistakes. And so the absolute best thing about the pop-up is that you do get to do all this market research. I don't care how well we are in keto and how high our ketone levels are. Our mental is never as sharp as we need it to be when it comes to the influx of the emotional aspect of it all coming together. So I would definitely suggest, and you guys have time, to come up with survey contact cards for twofold reason. One, because you want a spot where people will leave their phone number and their email, and nowadays social media is so important, and their handle on social media. Okay, so that you can forever keep them up to speed on everything, right? So the website, it would be like a newsletter or something to get their information so that you could send them things to keep them up to date on what's going on. But two, the survey card will allow you to dictate what the questions are that are asked, because you're going to have somebody that's going to just start writing their lifelong story about how their life has been saved by keto and has absolutely nothing to do with the fact that you're now providing this amazing service and pop-up. But they're going to write their whole story on it anyway. And you guys are so nice, you're going to read the whole thing. Michelle's like, that's debatable.
I just know people's handwriting and I can't get through it. But yeah,
I can't. Sometimes I can't read my own handwriting.
Yeah,
I type really well though. But having said that though, like something short that way you keep it, you have it, you can, you know, take that information, put it in, create the newsletter and, you know, kind of sit through and find the commonalities. And then I'm really big as a data junkie. So being able to take that information out and find out what the similarities are and kind of plot the information out as to, you know, what to keep, what to change, how to change, how to adjust, et cetera.
The other thing that we did is we purposely picked the smallest package possible for all these products.
Cool.
So the threshold to buy is not, you know, you don't have to buy the bulk package of anything.
So you're not going to open up the Costco of pop-ups.
Exactly. But also that'll give us in our tracking a lot more data and what sells the fastest and what people are really interested in. And hopefully we'll get feedback on those products as well for the producers as well as us. But
listen, we're going to have to set up a time after the pop-up to revisit and see how it went. And it just, I think that's going to be like so awesome. I'm epically excited for you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah. So how is this going to work? So people will come, they will have this, are you able to go back the next week if this is just absolutely tremendous as we plan it to be? And I mean, how does that, do we even know yet?
Well, hopefully we're going to talk with UTC then. They seemed interested in the beginning. I think this is a matter of, before they would give us a permanent contract, they really do pick and choose who can come into that mall. They don't want certain things. They don't want the hawkers, for example, people that, you know, sell the knife sets and cut things up in front of you. So just as an extreme example. So I hopefully they will like, but, you know, to curate the amount of stores that are in there is as much for them as it is for us. That's the clientele we want to. And we'll talk about what the rates are, but that's definitely something we want to thinking, and they have three of them here in Southern California, malls, and you know, we mentioned that we were interested in that.
Right, but let's also be really honest about this. One of the reasons why we're doing the pop-up, yes, we want to test the market, but this, you know, we're this is our own investment. This is our own money we're putting on the line. It's an easier and less risk-averse venture to dive into this for a week and work our butts off and curate all of these products and cross our fingers. The goal is we're really hoping that, you know, within, you know, after Labor Day, by the fall, we can reopen permanently in that mall because the location is amazing. The demographics there are absolutely perfect for, you know, for our, these types of products. But that's the goal, is we'd like to do this permanently. We'd like to, and then move the same business model up to a similar mall in the LA area and continue to move north throughout California. And I mean, hopefully everything goes well. You know, we start to move across the country. So the pop-up is the first step. And a lot of it has to do with, you know, money and time. We're both still working, you know, so we've both taken off the week. So obviously we can be there the entire time.
And Jordana, what do you do?
I'm a corporate recruiter. I'm a financial corporate recruiter.
Oh, that is fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm looking right now. No, talking. Listen, talking is great. I think that's fantastic. So I say that we could talk about that another time, but that's very cool. So you guys are going to take the week off, and then with, I mean, that's smart. I always think that everything should be tied with a call to action, right? So for those that are listening, especially if you're in Southern California, right? Obviously, if you're in North Carolina, New York, or anywhere out here, you guys are great. But I'm totally not going to fly to San Diego to buy it. It would be better for me to hit the shipping, you know what I mean? So, but for those that are in the SoCal area, go out and support
this.
Except
you get to come to Southern California, which is not terrible.
That's true. But you know that thing, the thing about the hotel bills in California is that they charge this ridiculous thing. They say, come to California. And then they charge you an additional visitation tax, which makes no sense to me. I'm just
sunshine tax.
That's why I stay in Airbnbs.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Because every time I've ever seen a California hotel bill at the end, I'm just like, I remember the commercial. I remember the invitation, but I didn't get a reach around. This is
just
not cool.
True. Oh, very true. Man.
So either way. Oh, so fantastic. Okay. So do you guys have any, I don't know, and this is one of those things where you don't have to answer this question because it's loaded, but do you have anything that you're super excited about more than others, or is everything pretty like equal across the playing field? And how did you kind of decide and decipher what you wanted to bring into your market?
Well, it's funny. One of the things, and I think we spoke about this at KetoCon, is that at the very fancy grocery store here in San Diego, there is actually a keto section, in the refrigerated section, where I was grocery shopping, very happily picked up a bag of cookies, and brought them home like a happy little dog. But look what I got. Look, I got keto cookies. And she looked at them and said, no, there's sugar in there. You can't really eat those. And I went, okay, that's just terrible. So the fact that we're very proud of this store that none of those products ever came through, and that's how we said no to products. Products that in general, besides flavor, just don't do anything for you. I think we eliminated a lot of those.
When you say don't do anything for you, what does that mean?
Yeah, well, that's more a Jordana question.
Sure. So we tried a number of different keto cookies that are out there on the market right now until we landed with keto snacks. I think they might have been our fourth cookie, maybe fifth cookie that we tried. We really wanted one good keto cookie. What we've really tried to do with the store is have one or two tops of every our like best in class category. So we tried all these cookies, and every single time we took a bite, both of us had the same reaction. We were like, why am I eating this? Why am I kind of wasting my calories on this? It's not good. And this kept happening. And then we tried keto snaps. And I was like, oh, damn. Yeah. All right. These are great. I really like these. And they're crunchy. Yeah. So we've done a lot of our own, let's call it independent market research. We have tried and tasted a lot of foods and really have, like, you know, put in front of us on a spreadsheet every category we want to have. We want to have a great nut butter. We want to have a great cake, a great cookie, you know, a great, what else do we have?
Granola bars, yeah, granola.
Cereal.
Yeah.
Bar, protein bar. So we just kind of went through all the categories. And then we also, of course, had to keep within the budget that we have allowed for ourselves.
I mean, especially these days, because there's keto for something. Yeah. There's like...
Oof. Yeah.
Yeah.
So at one point, we knew kind of how many products we wanted to bring in, and we divided the budget that we have by the amount of products and, you know, within a reason. And that's kind of how we allocated each product.
Yeah. Yeah. So I am very excited. One thing I'm really excited for is to have people starting to walk in when we open and see their reaction. Yeah. I'm really excited. I want people to feel safe when they walk in. Unlike the grocery store we went to, where I stood in front of the keto section and there must have been 30 different products in their, I say, quote, keto section, and not one of them was actually keto. Literally not one. So that was one of the things we wanted to do, was create this nice safe space where, you know, you can walk in and anything you pick up off the shelves will fall under the keto way of eating parameters. There are products out there that we all know, they just put the name keto on there because they're hopping on the bandwagon. Yeah, we're not using those. Yeah. We don't want those.
Actually, you responded to somebody yesterday. Of course, we're not naming any names. And she reached back with, oh, and was just wondering what your order was going to be for your pop-up. And Jordana responded back, well, as soon as you take honey as one of your ingredients out of your product, then we can talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And they have the word, it's keto bread, and honey is one of their main ingredients. And, you know, was... we don't want to sell something like that. So
I'm not doing that.
We decided that we really wanted to follow some, you know, stricter parameters for the products that we bring to people. And that was really important for us. So I'm excited to see people's faces and start to get their feedback on what we have. And, you know, we've got a lot of products that haven't been in San Diego before. So that's exciting.
Nope.
No, that's great. I love it. Okay. So where can people follow things up till when the market comes out? I know you have an Instagram and a website. Where can people go to get all that stuff?
So on Instagram, we are California_KetoSD for San Diego. And on Facebook, it is, I think, California Keto. It's just California Keto, actually, on Facebook. Our website, CaliforniaKeto.com. Easy. I've got the list of products and suppliers that we're using on the website. But I think Instagram and Facebook are probably the best way to follow along right now.
No.
Okay.
To see which a lot of the products, they're not all on there yet. Because I don't want to tell everybody everything. We want some surprises. It'll be fun. But that's the best way to follow along with what we're doing. And then, of course, what will be happening at the pop-up. We're excited to see how quickly things sell. We've been having a lot of conversations with our suppliers about how quickly they can potentially re-up us if something sells out.
So within the week,
you know, that we're also taking into consideration. So, we're really excited about the whole thing.
Absolutely awesome. I am so thankful that you guys took the time to come out. I will make sure this episode is out in time to give everyone chance to absorb it, share it, re-listen to it, share it again, so that they can be there for it. Questions, comments, and concerns, please feel free. All of the links to everything you just mentioned, website, Instagram, Facebook, all those things will be in the show notes, as well as the dates, so that people can follow along. And again, if you guys need absolutely anything from me or the rest of the Keto Matrix family, please let me know. Are you guys connected with Rachel Gregory?
No.
No, but I guess
actually we're not.
No.
Okay, so she's killing it keto on Instagram. She is there in SoCal as well. But Rachel Gregory, she is part of the Keto Matrix family. She is absolutely an amazing individual. And I am absolutely positive she is going to want to check this out and see what she can do to help steer people your direction.
Awesome. All right, that'd be great. I think I follow her on Instagram, so I will check
I think we do, yeah.
I'm all about trying to make those connections happen beyond the social media platform. I think that's it's one of those things. And, you know, I love the opportunity to talk to people and podcast and record and, you know, share the things I do. And the client base is absolutely fantastic. But being able to put the face, the names, the connections and the relationships that are built from all of this is just the best part. So
cool. Agreed. And KetoCon for us was really amazing to get to meet everybody face to face and start to build those relationships with everybody. It was awesome. It was an awesome weekend.
Absolutely.
And we got to meet you. So great.
I mean,
thanks,
you know, I'm like a fine wine. I get better with time, but it's also an acquired taste. You know what I mean?
We like it.
All right. Well, that's good. Thank you guys so much for coming on. Again, if you need me, shout out and get with me and I will help in any way I can. And awesome. You guys have an absolutely lovely, I shouldn't say evening because it's still afternoon for you guys.
Pretty much. We're getting there. We're getting there.
Sunset's 2 hours away.
Well, enjoy the sunset as you watch it, you know, on the beach, I'm sure, because that's just the best place, right?
Yeah, that's about the place. Yeah.
Really, I'm a little
thank
jealous.
You so much.
Not a problem at all.
The Keto Matrix Podcast, where myths are busted, science is explained, and the keto lifestyle is discussed by industry experts and everyday people alike. For more information and support, go to theketomatrix.com.